Welcome back to the Finding Your Feet podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get closer to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life. This is episode 47.
Yes, welcome back, guys. We just had a mare. We just tried to do this intro and then Abby's desk, tripod, everything collapsed. There was a mini earthquake. But here we are for round two. If you're watching on YouTube, then we've inserted the original clip for lols. But if you're not watching on YouTube, then you're missing out big time. You should go subscribe to our channel, Find Your Feet, the podcast, so you can always watch our interviews on there instead of just listening. But yeah, welcome, guys. Episode 47. We're feeling really excited today. The sun is shining. The skies are blue. It's a great time to be alive. We've got a good topic today, something we've never spoken about before. Toxic relationships and friendships, you know, spotting the signs, dealing with one if you're in one, and just some general good advice on a situation that I think we all go through. We all deal with toxic people in our lives. You don't think you go through your life without dealing with them at some point. So we're excited to talk about this today.
Yeah, defo. So excited to get into it. I feel like it's something we've wanted to cover for a long time. And I think it's something that, like you said, a lot of people deal with it, especially as you become more aware of yourself. You want to become more aware of toxic people around you. So that's what we're going to talk about, like identifying the toxic behavior and knowing when to walk away.
Yes. I feel like we've had an itch to speak about this pretty much since we started the podcast. So finally getting round to covering this topic. So it's going to be a good one. But before we get into it, you know what time it is, guys. Let's talk about the people that make this podcast possible. Our fabulous sponsor, BetterHelp. That's help, H-E-L-P. And we are so proud to be partnering with a company whose mission it is to help you start living a happier life from today.
Yes, BetterHelp is a professional online counseling service, and they'll set you up with a therapist in under 48 hours. They have a huge range of expertise, so you can find the right person for you. And even if it turns out that you're not too keen on that therapist, you can actually change for free.
Yes, it's a professional, secure online counseling service available for clients all over the world. You can easily access your account and message your therapist and get a quick response. And it's so easy to set up weekly video or phone sessions with your therapist. You can get the professional support and guidance you need from a highly qualified, licensed counselor and therapist from the comfort of your own home. No awkward waiting rooms, no traveling to your appointments. You can get the support you need from your bedroom, which is absolutely perfect given that we're still in a lockdown here in the UK, and getting out and seeing people isn't the easiest right now. So you can do this all safely from your home.
Yes, and it's also way more affordable than your traditional offline counseling. And there are over a million people using BetterHelp today. If you do want to go and check out the reviews, you can go to betterhelp.com/reviews.
Yes, they're a great company, guys, and we're really proud to be partnering with them. And as you all know, this is something that I have discussed openly on the podcast before. I have had therapy before, twice in my life, and it's been an absolute game changer. I wouldn't be where I am right now if I hadn't invested the time and the money in paying for therapy, investing in myself. It literally changes you completely. So if you are feeling like you've been struggling recently and you really want to take your mental health to the next level and get the support from a professional counselor who can help you work through whatever it is that you have your problems with, like we said, BetterHelp has so many therapists on there that all have a different range of expertise. So whether you struggle with depression, anxiety, OCD, so many, like PTSD, like anything, there's whatever it is that you feel like you're struggling with, there's somebody on there that's literally specializes in what you need help with. So they're a great place to go. And like we said, you know, you can get this support from home. So it's so easy. It's all just done online. And they are way more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Just to give you a picture of how much more affordable they are. When I last went to therapy, I went face-to-face therapy at the end of 2019, and I was paying £200 for 1 hour. But if you pay £200 with BetterHelp, you can have 4 hours. So you get a whole month's worth of therapy with them for £200. So it is significantly cheaper. But just because it's significantly cheaper doesn't mean the quality is any less. The only reason it is that price is because they really want to make therapy accessible to all, because so many of us need it. And it, in the past, it's been a really difficult thing to come by, and financially has been something that has blocked people from being able to get it. So not only is it significantly cheaper, you are also going to get an extra discount on top by being a listener of the Find Your Feet podcast. So you will get 10% off your first month of therapy with BetterHelp if you use our link. So if you go to betterhelp.com/findyourfeet, that's betterhelp.com /findyourfeet. The link is in the show notes. You can go through there and easily get started. But if you go through that link, you'll automatically get 10% off your first month. But there's no shame in therapy. It's just like taking your mind to the gym, and you are so worth investing in the time and money if you need the support. So yeah, we're all for therapy. If you want to know anything more about it or a little bit of advice or anything, you can come and chat to us on Instagram. But that's all for now. Let's get into today's episode. Okay, guys, let's get into the chat. Toxic relationships and friendships. Something we all deal with. Not an easy thing to deal with, but I feel like it's kind of inevitable in life, because people come into your life and you don't always realize who they are at first, and things can not end well. But it's all part of the journey. It's all part of learning. It makes you who you are, makes you a stronger person. So it's important. And I'm really excited to speak about this today because, yeah, it's something I think about all the time, because I'm like so selective with who I have in my life. But in the past, I haven't been. And that's when I've experienced, you know, toxic friendships and stuff. But, you know, like I said, it's all part of the learning. But it's really, really, really important to really be careful about who you have in your life, because you honestly become who you're around. You know that quote, like, you become the average of the five people you surround yourself with? It's very, very, very true. Like, who you have in your life, who your friends, even though you might not actually physically see them that often right now because of like the state of the world and we're all locked down, you still speak to them all the time. Like, they're still who you listen to all the time. And those people, like, what they say, it sinks into your mind. They are what you set your standards around. So, you know, if you've got a lot of like friends that aren't really doing much with their lives, like, chances are they'll kind of drag you down with them. And I know it sounds very savage, but honestly, like, they become part of your environment, and people underestimate environments all the time, like where you live, everything. They don't take into full consideration of how much your environment actually impacts you, whether you thrive or you don't. Like, people compare it to like a plant. You can put a plant in some certain type of soil in a certain part of the world and water it a certain amount, whatever, and it will bloom. And you can put it in a different part of the world in a different type of soil and different type of watering technique, and it won't bloom. Like, every person is so different, and your environment is key. It's really important, and people you surround yourself with are a big part of that environment. It's not just like the house you live in, the town, the city you live in, all that stuff. It's about who is in your circle too, because they honestly will get in your way more than you realize. But if you've got great people around you that are striving for good things, that may be further ahead of you in life, that inspire you, that are empowering, that are supportive, loving, good people, then that is going to really help you blossom.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like when it comes to self-development, like, you have to be savage with the people you surround yourself with. And it leads back to our previous episode about intuition, when we were saying it doesn't always feel good. Like, some of the stuff we'll talk about today, you're probably going to think, you probably have people coming up in your mind and you think, oh God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to cut that person off. If you want to grow, you have to be super aware of the people you surround yourself with. And I like your little vision there of the plant. I always think of the vision of fruit in a fruit bowl. And, you know, if like one's moldy or rotten. Yeah. And then
it rots all the others.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. Like, if you tolerate someone within your circle that you know is toxic and is bringing you down, then it's inevitable. They will bring you down. Energy is very contagious. So we're going to help you identify those people today.
Yeah. And I also just want to say, like, if you're just thinking right now, oh my God, I've got no one inspiring my life. We were born in the age of the internet. So you have podcasts like this. We're your friends. You have books. There's so many inspiring people online who you make them your friends. I don't mean like you actually make them your friends, but, you know, you listen to them, you consume them, you consume their positive energy, their different outlook on life, that's going to push you further. Even if you don't have that many inspiring people that you actually know in real life, it doesn't matter. And we've actually said this so many times in this podcast, like, you can absorb all these incredible people from the internet and through books. And that's a blessing that we all have access to people in that way. So, yeah, if you're thinking already, oh my God, like, I don't have anybody cool and inspiring in my life, I'm doomed. You're not doomed. it's better to ride solo than with people that hold you down, you know? I think there was a quote, I saw it ages ago and I absolutely loved it. It was like, the ones who ride solo have stronger wings. Oh, I can't remember, I absolutely butchered the quote, but I'll put it in the show notes or something. It was a really good quote. I just absolutely butchered it and made it sound really cheesy and horrible. No, but honestly, like, I genuinely believe you are better alone than in like bad company, and even, or like, you're better with a really small amount of friends if it means that they're like really high quality friends, because the people just impact you so much.
Yeah, Joe, I have another quote. We're firing out the quote today. You know that quote that says, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room? I'm sure it goes like that.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's so true for like who you surround yourself with, because it's all good kind of like being aspirational and being the one that lifts everyone else up, but you want to make sure that you're also surrounding yourself with people that are higher than you, because then you're going to raise to that level.
Yeah, it's really important to be around people that are further ahead than you. You know, you don't get like envious of them or anything. They inspire you, and they like lead by example. You know, having people around you like that, showing them what they do day in, day out, that's making them kill the game, is like one of the most powerful things that you can like surround yourself with. So, okay, I've just got the quote up, guys, that I've just butchered to show you because I didn't do it justice. The quote is, being with no one is better than being with the wrong one, because those who fly solo often have the strongest wings. It's true.
Yeah, that's very nice. That was worth it.
Powerful quote. You honestly are better alone than in bad company, my friends.
Yeah, for sure. I couldn't agree more. There's nothing better than actually being comfortable in your own company and knowing that you don't need people around you, let alone toxic people.
Yeah, it's a really important lesson to actually learn in life. And I feel like, well, I definitely wasn't, but I feel like most people aren't really born realizing that actually like being alone is okay and it can be really fun, and that it's actually better than being with people who bring you down. That was a lesson that I had to remind myself of in my early 20s when I'd let a few toxic friends into my life, but they didn't stay for long. They got the boot pretty quickly, but it was purely down, the reason that I let them come into my life was purely because I was valuing that, like, I thought that hanging out with other people was better and more fun than just hanging out by myself, even if those people weren't actually, you know, that nice. So it's an important lesson to learn, guys. Very, very important part of finding your feet in life.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's just part of life, like having those kind of relationships, because then they help you identify the nourishing, amazing relationships.
Exactly. So let's go through some of the signs of, you know, a toxic friend or toxic romantic relationship as well, because me and Abby are pulling on from different experiences here. I feel like I've experienced quite a few toxic friendships and have not experienced a toxic relationship, whereas Abby has experienced the toxic relationship, but not really toxic friendship. So you're getting it from all angles here today, aren't you guys? In for a treat. So some of the signs, this is mainly like toxic friendship signs, that they're jealous of you. So displaying signs of jealousy, don't really want to see you shine. So they kind of want to see you do well, but not better than them. So yeah, they want you to do well, but only to a certain extent, because if you start doing better or more well than they are, then you reflect to them what they're not doing and they don't like it. So they're going to try and like pull you down. This happens quite a lot, especially between girls, because they're like, we're naturally raised to compete from woman to woman just through how we're made to feel in society, you know. But, you know, we don't need to do that. There's enough of everything to go around for all of us. So I feel like it is really like quite a natural, weird way of thinking that us females, way more than guys, I don't feel like are as competitive with each other, but girls actually are, and it's not very good. So, you know, I sometimes notice myself doing it even now, and I always just pull myself up on it straight away, and I'm like, no, that is not you. That has come from a weird societal narrative that you need to compete with other women, that it's not necessary. Put it to the side. Let's all support each other, and I let go. But it is something that we all like do quite a lot. But in toxic friendships, it's like amplified so much more because those people are toxic and aren't even aware of them doing it and they don't hold back on it. So they'll be really passive with putting you down. Like they'll won't literally say, do you know what? You're a piece of crap. But they will basically say that to you in like a passive, sly way where you're kind of in a conversation, you're thinking, that was rude. But it was also said in some weird, sly, polite way. So now I feel like I'm overreacting if I bring it up. But it's like really subtle, like passive little put downs that happen again and again and again. And they just build up. And you don't need that in your life, guys.
Yeah, that's so true. I feel like it always happens in a way that you can't necessarily make a comment on it because they almost make you feel stupid or like you're overreacting. Like they always make you feel like you don't know where you stand. That's what I feel like, that uncomfortable, like treading on eggshells, like you're my friend, but I don't feel like.
Yeah.
But I think as well, like you said, the awareness is key, as we always say, because the awareness is where it stops turning into toxic behavior. Because like you said, naturally, we're kind of wired that way to be competitive and think, oh, what's she doing? What's she doing? But when you become aware of that and you think, oh, that's a little bit of jealousy. And then you think, oh, that's not helpful. I can let that go. That's when you stop it turning into toxic behavior. But like you said, if someone's generally a toxic person, this is the kind of things that's going to make them have passive comments and like make things that just say things that kind of make you feel small, I think, and make you question yourself.
Yeah. Like, it's called like gaslighting, but that's quite, more, I guess, serious cases. But it can happen in friendships too, where they do constantly do these little passive put downs and and then make you feel like, you know, maybe you're overreacting, whatever, if you do call them up on it. And it starts to make you question your own judgment of things and your own like sense of reality within this situation of how is this playing out? Like, am I overreacting here? Is this normal? And then might make you feel like, make you believe that it is normal and you just start accepting it. Like, I feel like that gaslighting is often categorized as only really happening in romantic relationships, but it can definitely happen in friendships as well. If, you know, you're in a friendship with not a good person, which, you know, it can quite easily happen to people.
Yeah, for sure. And going on to more kind of behaviors of a relationship point of view, I would say, I mean, there's countless ones, and if you've been in one, you will experience different ones, but I'll say mainly controlling behavior, which always kind of leads from an insecurity. So I feel like most toxic people, it's always from an insecurity that they're pushing onto you. So it's never about you and the relationship that you're in, whether that's friendship or relationship. It's always about the person's insecurity, and that's kind of what creates the toxic environment. So yeah, controlling, huge one, controlling behavior, being emotionally manipulative, turning things around, playing the victim, especially if it's something like an argument, like they might make you feel like you're always in the wrong, even though at the start you're convinced that something's wrong, and then you might air it and then they'll make you feel like you're stupid or something like that. And in terms of arguments, I would say keeping count, like something that can be really toxic in a relationship is when you think you're healing from things, but actually you're just keeping count, and then say something blows up and you have an argument in the future, and then all of a sudden you're pulling on past experiences, like, oh, but you did this. Like, for example, this could happen a lot with cheating. Like, you think you've forgiven the person and you move on, and then you have an argument, and then all that's coming through your mind is, but they cheated on me, and that you've not healed at all. That can create such toxic loops. But yeah, there are countless ones within relationships as well, but I would say they're probably the main ones.
Yeah, they're the main big signs of a unhealthy toxic relationship, or maybe even these are just red flags you spot at the start. And I think so much in life, we just think we look, especially with like romantic relationships, because I feel like with friendships, you're not as like, you're more relaxed about that part of your life. Like, you just, the come and go, some people stay for life, some people don't, whatever, like they just come in and out. Whereas like with romantic relationships, people are a bit more intense about it, because obviously it's a lot more like intimate and close and emotionally involving than a friendship. Obviously friendships are very emotionally involving too, especially if they're like, you know, a really close friend. But romantic relationships tend to be a lot more like intimate emotionally and obviously physically as well. So I feel like we're a little bit more, I don't know. I guess maybe overlook red flags when it comes to that, like romantic relationships. So even those might just be things that you see as warning signs at the beginning of, you know, when you're first dating someone or whatever, and you just look past it because you like kind of like fall for somebody's like potential, what you think they could be or are, and then you overlook these things, and they're showing you exactly who they actually are from the get-go, and you're just choosing to ignore it because you want it to be a different story. So, and you push yourself down your story and your version of what's going on and ignore this, and then you get yourself into difficult situations. Then you look back from the start and you could see all the warning signs were there, but you ignored it. And I think, yeah, we all do things like that, but it's not a good thing to do.
Yeah, I think as well with, I think why it's harder with a relationship is because with a friendship, sometimes you can accept like, oh, this person talks, I'm going to cut them out. But like you said, with a relationship, when there's so much more emotion involved, I think it's such a harder process of letting go of who you thought that person was. Like, we always create this version of someone. And then if you come to terms with the fact that actually, no, I think this person is toxic, you have to go through a process of accepting that who you thought that person was doesn't actually exist. And I think that's a huge thing, especially when it comes to breakups. A lot of people will focus on the good points and completely ignore the bad points because they're painting a picture of this person that doesn't even exist. So yeah, it's really important to become aware of toxic traits. Then when you are getting to know someone or getting in a relationship, you can see the red flags before your emotions get involved, before your attachment style is activated, as we know now. And yeah, you literally think, that blew my mind out, that book called Attached by Amir Levine. He literally explains all the different attachment styles. And he explained, which blew my mind, that sometimes when you get to know someone, your attachment style is activated. And to you, it feels like love. It feels like lust. You feel like you're all like loved up, like you could face the world, but really it's actually just your attachment style being activated. But that is just a whole other thing for a whole other day. But it's really interesting that if you can actually identify the traits before you get to that stage, that's how you can build healthy relationships, because you're going to know when to walk away.
Yes. So funny. That is so funny. I didn't know that. I've not read that book yet. I've got it here in my pile, but I have not got to reading that one yet. But that's really funny. I didn't know that your attachment styles are actually being activated first and you think it's love.
Yeah, and you think you're in love. And he says in that book that, and I've heard it before and I've always thought, oh, well, it sounds a bit boring. But he explains that when you meet the right person for you, you should not, like, yeah, you should feel happy and excited, but you shouldn't be like heart pumping, like can't even think what you're doing, like, because that is your attachment style. What you should actually feel is like a really sense of calm and an inner happiness. And I was like, that's where people get confused, because they think, oh, this guy's a bit boring, he's nice, but he's a bit boring. But really, your attachment style just isn't activated, and you're mixing up the two of liking someone and actually just your attachment style. How crazy is that?
Oh my God, it's fascinating. Absolutely, yeah. Fascinating. Because I feel like so many of us like walk into like first dating somebody in the initial stages, and you literally feel that heart pumping, can't think straight. And you literally think, wow, this is it. Yeah. I met the one. But no, you haven't.
No, when usually you're not. So I'm going to wait for that calmness. That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, I'm going to hurry up reading my current book so I can read that next one. But yeah, honestly, part of just dealing with these toxic relationships and friendships, it really is part of life, like encountering people like this. If you don't encounter them, like you're not really living. I mean, like you'd just be living life like wrapped in cotton wool. Like it's just inevitable that you're going to come across difficult people in your life. And it's all about just how long you stay in that for. Like you should never judge yourself for getting in that situation. Like it happens to the best of us. Like even the most strong minded, like perfect mindset, like powerful people, whatever, super confident, even people like that end up in difficult situations. Like there's the this is just a whole nother topic that is just a huge rabbit hole, but the dynamic of narcissists and empaths, and how narcissists are massively attracted to empaths and empaths are attracted to narcissists. Actually, they're so bad for each other. But the way that they're different personality types, or they like slightly feed off each other, but it creates a completely toxic dynamic. It causes people so much pain and never works well, but it's this weird human dynamic that happens quite a lot. I mean, that's that, you know, and you being an empath and falling into the sort of dynamic trap with a narcissist doesn't mean that you're like a weak person or whatever. Like these things just happen and you should never judge yourself for them, but it's all about like how long you stay in them for. you taking your own responsibility for your toxic part to play in it. Because when you deal with these toxic people, romantically or in just friendships, you had a part to play in that. Like, you can't just blame it all on them. Sure, they might have been an absolute arsehole, but your responsibility in that was that you allowed them in the first place. Maybe you ignored the red flags, but you have to take responsibility for it without shame, without judgment, because that is how you feel empowered. That's how you like move on from it, and you know, don't like hold it against you or let it make you doubt yourself or doubt your judgment of other people. We all have like, we're not all, at least part of the human experience, like we're not all perfect, are we? So yeah, it's about taking responsibility for the part you played in it. And that's how you feel empowered about the situation. You move on from it.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think that's how you learn and grow, by reflecting on what role did you play in that? Because nobody is perfect and we can all behave in toxic ways from time to time, especially if you're within a toxic relationship. Because like we said, who you surround yourself with, they rub off on you. So if you're actually in a really toxic relationship, more than likely, not blaming the other person, but more than likely, you're probably going to start doing some traits that they're doing. So I think when you reflect on these kind of relationships, that is the most important thing, to not look back in shame and realize that these things happen, it's all part of growth. But also take responsibility for what role you played, like what things did you do that weren't so healthy, so that you can look back and think, okay, I did that, but now I'm not going to do it in the future. And then as well, if somebody else comes to you and you find that they're doing something that you might have done and you've already identified that within yourself, you can shut that down and you can think, that's not healthy because I've actually done that in the past and that didn't help nourish my relationship at all. So yeah, being very aware of your own role that you played within toxic relationships is really important. Hey guys, just interrupting the episode to introduce you to our brand new sponsor, Skillshare. We are always talking about the importance of educating yourself, pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and learning new things. So that's why we're really excited to bring this platform to you.
Skillshare is an online learning community with meaning. Their aim is to deliver effective courses which are super accessible and easy to use. They offer a range of creative courses such as graphic design, photography and fine art. But as well as the creative courses, they also have courses on business analytics, entrepreneurship, and marketing. There is something for everyone, and we are both currently making our way through the courses and absolutely loving them.
Yes, we are always saying that knowledge is in power, and investing in yourself is one of the most valuable things you will ever do. And they literally have courses for everything. I literally couldn't believe it. They have 27,000 courses. So I'm currently making my way through one on neuroscience, which I'm absolutely loving. And then I'm going to start the one on meditation. So whatever you have in mind, they will literally have a course for it. And the best part is Skillshare are giving our listeners a 2-week free trial where you can go and check out all the courses. And then after that, it's £14 a month, but you can cancel at any time. So if even if it turns out that you're not too keen and you don't want to go ahead, you can just cancel before you're charged.
Also, the best thing about Skillshare is that they are not super long courses, which you have to dedicate yourself to. Some of the courses are literally just 1 or 2 hours long. And think about how many courses you could complete in 2 weeks for free. A lot. You can learn so much. So it's a no-brainer, guys. If you want to learn a new range of skills, start new hobbies, or study how to grow your business without the heavy price tag, then head to skillshare.eqcm.net/findyourfeet. That is a mouthful of a link. So we've put it in the show notes. You can just easily go down there and click through and start your 2-week free trial and expand your brain, make the most of lockdown, and learn something new. But let's get back on with the episode. Yeah, I think it's all about how long you stay in it. Like, awareness is so key. And sometimes you can be really unaware that you're in this situation for a while. Like, you can literally, you know, especially if it's really emotionally manipulative, there's like a saying, like, as your emotions rise, your rational decision making goes down. And it's because if you get really caught up in, especially like, toxic emotions, like in a toxic relationship, the emotions run really, really high and they're so consuming to the point that you cannot see clearly and make a proper decision and get a clear sense of reality on the situation. So it's really important to obviously gain awareness. And sometimes that can take a while. And, you know, you might even have a friend who's in a toxic friendship or relationship and you see what it's doing to them, but you can't, like, it's hard to pull people out of that. You have to like pull yourself out of it. But yeah, it's becoming aware, because then once you're aware, then it's on you. How long are you going to stay in this for? Because it's your responsibility to kind of get yourself back out of it. And, you know, people don't always show you who they are at first. Like, people wear masks, and, you know, when you're in an adult life as well, people, you know, they usually behave quite well at first, and then you might get in quite deep down the line and all these true colors start to come out. Maybe you move in with the partner or whatever, you get quite deep into the friendship, and then you're kind of in a bit more of a compromising situation, and they start to really show their true colors and you feel a bit stuck. Like, that's when it's, you know, it gets even more difficult. But you know, people don't always show you who they are at first, so it can happen. But it's just about awareness, and then how long you take how quickly you remove yourself back out of that situation. Like, you might have lost some of your self-worth in that friendship or in that relationship, because that is what toxic relationships do. They tear you down. They bring your confidence down. They bring your worth down. They bring your sense of judgment and reality and confidence in your own, like, sense of judgment and everything. They bring all that down. So, it's about looking back in with yourself, inwards, you know, recognizing your worth again, trusting yourself, and listening to your intuition, and making the steps to walk away. Because, like I said, better alone than in bad company.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like people can put on so many masks sometimes without you knowing it. And I think knowing when to walk away is the actual key of what we're trying to say in this episode. Because, like we said, you're always going to have toxic people like come into your life. They may kind of wiggle their way in, and it's important to not kind of like hold that against yourself and think, why did I let that person in? Because that person could have had a huge mask on that you couldn't see through. Like, you're not a mind reader. Yeah. Like, as much as we want to be, we're not mind readers, and we're just doing the best we can and trying to build nice, nourishing relationships. So if someone has a huge mask on and you can't see through it, don't beat yourself up. But once they do show their true colors, the important thing is that you know when to walk away, and you have built up your self-worth enough to know when it's time to go. And it's also so true what you said about how you can never say to someone like, oh, I think this relationship's unhealthy, I think you should leave. Like, it never works. You have You have to decide yourself. I've seen this so many times. I've seen it within myself. I've seen it within my friends. Like, you literally can't. And I'll never forget what my mum said to me. We were talking about like toxic relationships ages ago, actually. And she was saying that you can try and advise someone if you want to. You can say, like, you've got the best interests at heart and everything like that, but they will never leave. They'll never do anything until the penny drops for them. And she was like,
yeah,
they will wake up one day and that penny will drop. But until that penny drops, you can't really help them. And I think that really, because I fully believe that everything happens for a reason. So if someone, say Sally, is in this relationship and that penny has not dropped for her, she thinks she's madly in love with this person, but they are very toxic, and then her friend is trying to tell her to leave, she will never leave until she wakes up that morning and the penny drops. Like, her friend could say anything, but she has to decide within herself, like, actually, I've had enough and I'm going to walk away. And I know this too well, because this literally happened to me. You kind of had you have those signs from your intuition, like, oh, this isn't right, this is a bit toxic, it shouldn't go. And you kind of go with it for a while. And then literally it happened to me. It was like a penny drop in it. And I was like, what am I doing? And I came back to that thing of what my mum said, saying, and she probably doesn't even remember, but I remembered it, and I thought, the penny has dropped and it's time to walk away.
Yeah, honestly. And advice for anybody that maybe has like a friend or someone close to them, maybe a family member or whatever, who is in a toxic relationship and you're like kind of on the sidelines watching it. Like, honestly, the best thing you can do is stay friends with that person or a family member. Like, stay close to them, listen to them, like, support them, like, be there. So kind of like secretly watch from the sidelines. Obviously, step in if things are getting really bad. But, you know, you can't make people's choices for them. They have to come to that choice themselves. So honestly, like, the best, and I know that, like, you know, for girls and stuff, like, it can be frustrating to watch your friend in that situation. And sometimes people like fall out about it. Like, it's quite common, but the best thing you can do is just kind of watch from the sidelines, intervene if, you know, things do get bad, but watch from the sidelines, be a good friend, support them, and they will come to that penny drop moment when they come to it, because eventually they will. You're not going to stay in something like that forever. And usually the relationship is so toxic, the dynamic completely breaks down, and it's impossible for them to stay together. So you just need to be a good friend and observe from the sidelines, support. And when that penny drop moment happens and they need that real emotional support, ready to take that move, to walk away, be there for them, be that person, and support them through like that removing of that toxic person from their life. Cause that'll be hard too. Because honestly, like when you're in it, if it's a romantic relationship, especially, I feel like this isn't so much with friendships, but a toxic romantic relationship where the emotions have run so high and you feel like you love this person so much, it's really difficult for them to walk away, and it's really difficult for them to see the situation for like what is actually going on. They might really defend the person. So you going in there and being like, "What are you doing? This relationship's so messed up, blah, blah, blah. You deserve more. You should," blah, blah. It can just actually make that person get their back up. And if you really care about them and want to protect them, observe from the sidelines, support without them realizing that you are, and then the penny will drop, and then just be there to help them.
Yeah, that's so true. I think you have to have the patience sometimes. And I actually remember what I was going to say. Well, what my point was that I feel like everything happens for a reason in life. So if someone is in a relationship and the penny hasn't dropped for them yet, and they're kind of going through the motions, it's because they need to learn more. They need to build more self-worth. And one day they will have the strength to leave, but that is their path. And sometimes we can't be too judgmental, like, "Oh my God, I can't believe they're with that person. Like, I would never let that in my life," because that is their path. And they probably have things to heal. They have like self-worth to build. And one day the penny will drop and they will leave. But all you can do is kind of advise from the sideline, show maybe your concern if you are, but yeah, not be too pushy and say, "What are you doing with your life? I wouldn't do that," because that is just coming from such an aggressive place. And anybody that's in a toxic relationship will immediately like put their barriers up if you come at them like that, because they're on like what's the word, like they're on kind of like self-destruct. So anything like that, like alarming to them, they're just going to back off from. So it's really not a great, even though it's tempting when you care about someone and you can see that
it's always quitting a place that you care. Yeah,
so it's hard sometimes to hold back. But I think becoming very aware of like not attacking and just showing compassion for a situation like that.
Yeah, because nobody wants to feel judged, and you definitely, especially, do not want to feel judged by your friends. You want to feel supported by your friends. So even though you might be thinking, "Oh my God, this situation is really messed up," you know, you're not going to make your friend feel good by saying that. Like, you need to, obviously, don't lie to them and be like, "Oh, this is absolutely fantastic. Like, isn't this great?" And encourage it. But, you know, at the same time, don't be super like judgmental, because they're obviously going through a hard time. Otherwise they wouldn't be in a relationship like this. So you just need to be there for them. But let's just chat now about when it's you, and it's you, like, as in you're in the toxic friendship or relationship and you're deciding to walk away. I want to talk about blocking, because I am passionate about blocking. And I don't mean that in a mean way, and I feel like blocking has a really aggressive reputation and like it seems to be a bit petty, but that I see it as a big self-loving thing to do, because all you're doing when you block is you are protecting your peace. You are controlling who has access to you and who doesn't, and that is a very, very important boundary to have. And often if you're exiting a toxic friendship or relationship, you're having to withdraw yourself from that because that person isn't good for you. They're not nice. They're toxic. Chances are they're probably not going to leave you alone straight away. Like, and usually, you know, with things like that, you might say, "Look, you know, this relationship's done," or "This friendship's done," or whatever. And you don't block them. They probably will come crawling back. Like, they'll probably come and text you a couple of weeks later or maybe a few months later and be like, "Oh, how are you? Not spending so long. Miss you." And by then, you know, you've let go of all the anger, you've healed from the upset, you're in a different place. So you could quite easily just fall back, you know, into that if you're like, you know, self-discipline wasn't there at that point. But also, like, it's just, I say I'm savage, but I'm like, is this savage or
no,
is
I don't
this?
Think you're wrong. I think you're just I'm normal. Not, I would block as well.
Normal. Yeah. I'm normal. No, honestly, like, it's a really important boundary to have, and all you're doing is protecting your peace. It's not petty. It's because some people like obviously get so offended by somebody blocking them. But in the world we live in now, where we have phones and the internet, we have access to each other all the time. And that actually isn't normal. Because if you fall out with Sally from the next town and it's in the 1800s, chances are you can probably go through the whole rest of your life with never seeing her again if you want to, and never really hearing about her, because we don't have Instagram and we don't have WhatsApp and all this other stuff. Sally can't text you saying, please be my friend again, I'm sorry. Because she can, maybe she could write you a letter, whatever. But really, we now have access to each other all the time, whereas we didn't used to have that. And you know, even when you text somebody normally now, you think they're going to respond to you like straight away, like you have that expectation on them that they need to text you back straight away. But really, like, people can choose when they want to respond to you. Like, that in itself, this phone new life, I know it's great because it keeps us really connected, and I wouldn't want to not have it. I would much rather have it than not. But you've got to think, like, human nature, it does kind of go against our sort of normal, natural way of living. So yeah, I'm a big advocate for blocking. I don't think it's petty. I think it's essential. If something's done, it's done. Like, you don't need to look at them. They don't need to look at your stuff. And you need to take full control over who has access to you, and protect your inner peace. Because even if they did text you like a couple months down the line saying, hi, like just dropping in randomly, and it wasn't anything mean or anything, it was, you know, a nice natured text, even just that could just make your energy feel bleh. Because if you've been in a toxic friendship or relationship, and you've got to the point where you have to remove yourself from that person, you're never going to fall back in with that person. Like, it's never going to be good. Like, it was never good in the first place, so it's never going to be good. So even if they come, like, appear back in your life further down the line, even if it's them trying to be nice, it's still going to disturb your peace. And you are worth more than that, honeys. You are worth more than that. You need to fully control who has access to you, because your energy is important, and you don't want to be around anyone who is draining you. So yeah, I am passionate about blocking. I encourage people to do it. And sometimes people are like, I can't. But no, you do. You just, if it's done, it's done. If they're in their grave, they ain't coming back out. Just block them. Move on.
No, I literally couldn't agree more. I think once you decide that you don't want someone in your life, like, why would you bother? You won't want to see the stuff anyway. It's like what they say, don't put dirty sheets on a clean bed. Like, if you've cut someone out of your life and you don't want them in there, then why not block them? Because you don't want them popping up again. Like, you've already made your decision. Sit to your decision and pull through with it. And yeah, block those people if you really feel like you need to, because I think as well, just the act of doing it, you're just literally dosing yourself with a bit of self-love, because you're saying, I can do this, I don't need you, and I'm moving on.
Yeah, and you're controlling, you know, who's got access to you, which is so important. You know, you can't give yourself, you can't give everyone access to you. You are a high worth, amazing human. You know, you've got things to do. You don't have time for people to be wasting your energy. So you've got to protect yourself. And also, like, you don't owe anyone an explanation for you walking away. So, and I say this in the sense of like friendships and stuff. I think if you were in a 10-year relationship and you just like walked away and didn't tell them why, or even just like dating someone in general, if you just blocked them, obviously if they were horrible, then fair enough, absolutely do that. But if they weren't, and you're classing this blocking into like the ghosting category, we're not advocates for that. That's mean. I just mean, like, if you are in like a toxic friendship or whatever, and you decided, look, I'm done. Like, I'm walking away. This isn't serving me anymore. This is just too much drama. It's bringing me down. You're sucking my energy. I ain't got time for this. You don't owe anyone an explanation for why, your reasons for walking away. Because often the reason you're having to walk away and walk out of someone's life like this is because they aren't very self-aware. They don't really, they don't have the emotional awareness or anything, emotional intelligence to understand how a friendship or relationship should healthily work. So you telling them why you're walking away is probably just going to do nothing. You'll just be talking to a brick wall. You'll probably get some abuse back, and it'll just be draining. It's not going to work. So it's honestly, like, it is just like talking to a brick wall. Some people are just not going to be able to take it in, and you don't have to waste any more of your time trying to explain that. It's not your responsibility to tell somebody why they've behaved badly. Like, it's up to them to figure that out. So yeah, you don't also, if you want to just remove and block from a bad friend, you can just do that. You don't need to explain why. And it's their responsibility to figure out why. It's their responsibility to do some introspection, have some self-awareness to figure out why somebody would want to walk out of their life and then block them. Because if somebody did that to me, that'd be a really big sign that I had been an absolute twat to them. Because for somebody to do that, like, that's big measures. So you don't need to explain it if you don't want to. Like, you don't owe anybody any more of your energy to explain your decisions. You know, you do you.
Yeah, so true. It would just be a huge waste of energy, because I feel like people only meet you on the level that they've met themselves as well. So if you're super self-aware and you know toxic behavior, you trying to explain that to someone or explain why you've gone off them and you've decided they're no good for you, they're probably not going to understand if they're not very self-aware. So it would save so much time and energy. Yeah, to just let them be and just move on with your life, and don't spend a life explaining yourself. Like, you've got better things to do and your time is so, so precious on this earth. So yeah, that's the last thing you need to do, is like feel the guilt and the need to explain, like just block them.
Yeah, do not feel bad. And I feel like so many girls are like, oh, I don't want to be mean, or, you know, because a girl never wants to be seen as being a bitch. But I mean, if having freaking boundaries and removing crappy people from your life makes you a bitch, then be a bloody bitch. Sorry, I've sworn so much in this episode. But if it makes you a bitch, then be a bitch. I swear Florence Given said that in her book, and she's so right. Like, it's girls are so always made to feel like you need to just be accommodating, be polite, be nice. But no, you don't have to. You don't have to be nice. If people are not nice to you and they cross your boundaries and they're toxic, you don't have to stand that. You do not have to explain yourself either for removing them from your life. Just do it. So yeah, blocking for the win.
Yeah, love it. You have to be untamed. Just go with your heart. Do not spend a lifetime translating your soul.
Exactly. You know, and especially with people like that, that you're having to block, like the reason you're having to block them is because they're never going to understand you anyway. So you'd literally be shouting at a brick wall and you'd get nowhere. It's completely pointless exercise, and you may as well just back away with peace and walk away. You know, your time is precious, very, very, very precious. And you are here on this earth for a reason. You've got things to do. You have a gift. You've got things to share with the world. You have an important life to lead, and you do not have time for anyone to be bringing you back. So you become the average of the five people around you. So if some of those people are losers, some of those people are horrible, some of those people make you feel small, they make you feel crap, they do not empower you, remove them right now. This is your call. It's time. Block them.
This is your wake-up call. It is time.
It's time. Yeah, you are honestly, like, you do not owe anyone an explanation. I remember once actually somebody that I'd blocked, then their friend texted me like, why have you done that? This was ages ago. This was, you know, when we were quite a lot younger. I've been doing this since day one. But they text me like, and you're probably not even going to reply to this text either because you think you're too good. And it's like, it's not that I think I'm too good. That's not what it is. It's just that, why would I engage in this drama? I ain't got time for this. See you later. Like, it's not about that. Like, they might get, that people get like, people like that that you end up having to block get triggered by the fact you blocked them, and they might try and come for you in another way, might maybe, you know, through another friend, or I don't know, send you an email or a letter. I don't know. They might try another line of communication, but you've got to just stay strong. Trust your decision. You are worth having complete control over who has access to you, and stick to your guns, because you made that decision for a reason, and trust yourself and just stick with it. Stay strong, even if it's hard, especially if it's really toxic and that person is really can quite easily trigger you and reel you back in. Remember your worth and like, stay strong. You can do this.
Yes, very true. I also just want to, I know we've touched on a little bit on the shame around controlling relationships, but I do want to just explain a little bit about my story, because I feel like this, when I think about talking about this, it makes me feel weird. And I think where you feel vulnerable is your power. Like, literally your power lies within your vulnerability. So like, as we said at the start, I've experienced a toxic relationship ages ago, and I've never referenced it on this podcast before in case anyone's like trying to go back, because we have done other episodes about breakups and stuff. But I've never talked about it before. And the reason why I've never spoken about it before is because for so long, I held so much shame on that relationship. Like, I was so embarrassed to admit it of how bad that relationship actually got. But it was, I mean, it was quite a long time ago. I was like 19.
Yeah, you were so young.
Yeah, yeah. And it was my first relationship. So I think when you're kind of in that, you just feel like anything goes. Like, you haven't got anything to compare it to. So you kind of think, oh, this is normal. But there was a lot of red flags and it definitely got very out of control. But I'm so, so grateful that I had that relationship, because that taught me from day one everything I do not want in a relationship. Like,
yeah,
controlling behavior was absolutely ridiculous. And it is weird to, I think the reason why I have so much shame is because you look back on it and you think, how the hell did I let that happen? Like, you know what I'm like now? Like, could you imagine someone trying to control me now? Like, it just, it would never happen.
You would not let them. No,
I'd be like, I'm tamed. No. Like, it would never happen in a million years. But back then, I don't know so much let it happen, because as we said, when you're in an emotionally manipulative relationship, you're very blinded by what's going on. But yeah, I did feel a lot of shame. And I found that when the relationship ended, I felt like I was still actually covering up how bad it was. I was kind of like lying about the reality of what it was. And it took me ages to kind of just come to terms with that it was absolutely fine what happened, and it had to happen for a reason. And now I know I will never, ever, like, I'm so hyper aware of those kind of traits now. Like, I was actually thinking today before we recorded this, and I was thinking back to maybe like 2 years ago or something, when I was like seeing this guy, and I got the tiniest hint of insecurity in him, and I called it off. Because I can see the warning signs now of, as I said, insecurity leads into kind of like controlling, manipulative behavior. And I can see it from the get-go. So I literally called it off, because I do not want to give my time and energy to anything like that, to anything that's going to bring me down, because it's literally the most toxic, like, toxic relationships. They're just horrible. The highs and the lows, and you think you're good, you think you're bad. And it's just draining, and it's really, really not productive for your own development. So yeah, I'm probably hyper aware of those signs now. But yeah, my main point was that if you are either in a relationship like this, then my message to you is to please have the strength to leave. Because honestly, I actually really, really struggled. But you've got it in you. You can fucking do it. Like, I fucking believe in you. You're so worth a healthy relationship. So if you, if you're listening, you think, oh my God, like, I think my relationship might be a little bit toxic, but I'm not sure. No, if it's a little bit toxic, get it away. Get it in the bin. Just be strong enough to leave. Like, I fully believe in you. And if you've had one in the past that you don't speak about much, like I did, just don't feel shame. Don't judge yourself, because you're just doing your best with what you knew at the time, and you can't judge your past self. You have to accept every single part of you so that you can move forward and just love yourself. And yeah, I am grateful it happened anyway. But yeah, I did want to just air that, because it's something that definitely, I always say this, but it definitely made me who I am today. Like, I want to say I glowed up a lot after that breakup. So yeah, it's quite a part of me that I never speak about. But yeah, anyone that's in those relationships, just know you have got this, and you're worthy of a really nourishing, amazing relationship.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like once you go through that really difficult one, and you pull yourself out of it and you heal from it, and you spot all the signs in anybody else, and you break it off straight away. I feel like once you, like, because you feel a bit like you lose your power a bit in those kind of relationships. And once you have gone through that and then left it, healed and regained your power, I feel like you come back even stronger and you don't go backwards. Like, it's like some flame is like just relit within you, and you become an even more bigger force to be reckoned with. And it just doesn't happen again, because you get closer to yourself, you trust yourself more, you want to protect yourself more. So yeah, even though it can be really hard, obviously out on the other side, you can become like seriously strong from it. So yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see you ever getting in a relationship like that again. Like, you are, you assert your boundaries loud and clear.
Yeah, literally.
With everyone.
Yeah.
And that's really good.
Yeah, for sure. I'm proud of that. But when you said that, actually, I think I remember saying this to you a while ago. We heard it on a podcast, I think, that when you're heartbroken, your heart actually, right, I'm going to explain this really badly, but maybe we'll put it in the show notes if I find the right explanation. But when you're heartbroken, your heart like expands. And then when it returns back to its normal shape, it's actually expanded. So that's why you feel like the breakup glow up is actually real, because as your heart goes back to its like original state, it you feel amazing. So that's why literally when you break up with toxic people and you go through that glow up, you literally feel better and you feel empowered and you grow because something's going on with your heart.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Cool. I'll research it and put it in the show notes because I really don't want to be like perpetuating all this random information, but it's true. Like, I definitely heard it. And it made me think that's so true because I feel like after a breakup or even a toxic relationship, a friendship or anything, once you've kind of let that person out of your life, you may feel weird. You may feel really sad. Like we say, sometimes the right decisions don't feel great at the start. But then once you start to feel better, you always feel better than you did before the
relationship. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you glow up. Big time. The glow is real. Like, it's so exciting.
Honestly, you do. And it's not just from romantic relationships. I feel like it's always that breakup glow up that people talk about. But it's the same with removing toxic friends from your life too. You will glow from that, honey. And the reason why you glow is because you become who you're around. You're not meant to have people like that in your life. You're meant to glow always. You're meant to thrive always. So yes, be picky about who is around you. If it means that you have to spend more time alone, it's worth it because you are your own best friend. And when you realize that, like, it's a big, big, really important thing to realize is that your own company is fabulous and that you are absolutely fine on your own, because that just again stops you from letting people in who aren't worth it because you're totally cool by yourself anyway. So yeah, be really picky about who you're with. And if you don't have anybody fabulous in your life, then just absorb podcasts, books, things like that. And you know, like, even from our finders group chat, like, even just from listening to this podcast now, I obviously there's all these amazing girls, really lovely, super nice girls that are all joining this finders group chat on Instagram. Like, even just from listening to podcasts now, they've all got like loads of new friends in this group chat. Like, you know, you just don't know what can happen. And yeah, you're better alone than in bad company because you are your own best company. So I think I hope that episode hit home for some of you who needed it. And we're just going to close up with the quote of the week. I absolutely love this quote. I read it in Oprah's book, What I Know For Sure. Highly recommend that book. It's a very beautiful book. But this quote is actually from Maya Angelou, who was like Oprah's like bestie, I think. She really influenced her. But I found it in Oprah's book. But it is, when people show you who they are, believe them the first time.
That hit.
Yes, because I think we can all
I'm speechless, obviously.
That slaps us all around the face because we all do it. We all like look past these red flags and think, give people the benefit of the doubt too many times. But yeah, when people show you who they are, believe them the first time. Best advice I think I've ever heard in my life. That's the one thing I remember the most out of that book that just smacked me around the head for sure. So fantastic quote, one to remember for life.
Yeah, so thank you so much for listening, guys. We really hope you enjoyed the episode. As we said, we've been wanting to speak about it for a while, so we hope it inspired you and got you thinking about releasing those toxic people from your life.
Yes, guys, I hope it inspired you. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review so we can read out your review at the beginning of the next episode, and subscribe as well so you never miss an episode. If you're listening on Spotify, you can follow us on there so you never miss our episodes either. We release them every single Wednesday and usually pretty much now it's every Sunday as well. We throw you with a little mini episode as well. So two episodes a week at the minute from Finding Your Feet, which is very exciting. So hit subscribe so you're always keeping up to date and you aren't missing these inspiring podcasts.
Yes. And if you would like to buy us a coffee to support our podcast, you can head to buymeacoffee.com/findingyourfeet. And this is basically just to show a little gesture of how much you appreciate the content that we put out, so we can keep on creating the content that you love. And if you do go and leave us a coffee, please leave your name, because someone actually didn't leave their name and we love to thank you. So yeah, thank you all who has left us a coffee.
Yes, thank you so much. It's just a nice little gesture if you feel like you've got value from this podcast before and yeah, you just want to support us to be able to keep going and keep doing all these episodes. So thank you very much to everybody who's already bought us a coffee. You're all amazing. And thank you to everybody who... thank you in advance to anybody who does. But also come and join our community on Instagram, guys, at Finding Your Feet Podcast. That is where we are every single day of the week. You don't need to wait until every Wednesday or Sunday to hear from us. You can see us every day on Instagram, always posting positive, fun things on there. So yeah, come and chat to us on Instagram. We love hearing from you guys so much. Love reading your DMs, seeing you share the episodes, telling us what you think. It's one of our fave things ever. So come and find us on there.
Yeah, I feel like lately we just love it. We're on the Instagram a lot, to be honest, and we do love chatting to you. So come and let us know what you think. Also, guys, if you are interested in getting an affirmation or meditation, they are available on our website. We have a range of different things, and then we also have like personalized affirmations, which we've had quite a few orders of recently, and everybody is loving them. Everyone always says they reduce them to tears, which we don't want to make you sad, but we do want to get you in the feels and get you thinking about rewiring those subconscious beliefs. So go and head to our website, findingyourfeetpodcast.com, and check out all the meditations and affirmations, and let us know if you have any questions at all, because we're very happy to answer.
Yeah, loving seeing you guys getting your meditations, and we absolutely love doing the personalized ones. We've done quite a few personalized ones in the last few weeks, and yeah, the feedback's been incredible. So if you want to get one, you know where to go. Link is in the show notes. And also, guys, if you want to be on our mailing list, we send a email every Monday morning. So it's just one email a week. It's never annoying marketing. It's just a positive, wisdom filled, motivating, inspiring email to set you up for the week with some really good food for thought. People always email us back and they're like, oh, that just touched my heart, or thank you so much, or that really got me thinking, or I really needed to hear that today. People love the emails. So come and subscribe so that you are part of the club. You don't miss out. The link to join is in the show notes.
Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.